Welcome to the Community Christian Church Montgomery podcast. We are in the second week of our series, Helping People Find Their Way Back to God. Jesus described the kingdom of God as a treasure that would be worth giving up everything to acquire. If you found your way back to God, then this treasure that you've been given becomes your motivation for helping others. Here's our teaching pastor, Mitchell Shiver.
Morning, community. How are we? Good. Hey, I am so glad that you're here today. We are in week two of our series, Helping People Find Their Way Back to God, and I am glad that you chose to be with us this morning. Now, I don't know if you saw this news story a few weeks ago, maybe you did, but an elderly man in Arizona was preparing to transition to a nursing home, and so he had some friends and family and neighbors kind of over at the house, you know, going through things in the garage, and while they were doing that, someone noticed over in the corner was a Los Angeles Lakers autograph poster. Now, I don't know if any Lakers fans are in here, should be Bulls fans, so if you're a Lakers fan, you should be rebuked, but hey, still glad you're here. But so someone suggested, hey, you should probably check out and see if this poster has any value. So they had an appraiser come over. The appraiser said, yeah, that autographed poster is worth $300. Now, that's a pretty good day, right? You find something that's worth $300. I mean, who wouldn't want to have an extra $300 in their pocket, especially unexpectedly? But here's the interesting twist. While they were appraising this poster, the appraiser noticed a painting that was sitting there. That painting was by Jackson Pollock. And he said, do you realize what this is? They appraised the painting for $15 million. Okay, so what started out as a $300 poster turned into a $15 million treasure. And the story was that the guy's half-sister had died, and she was actually a friend of the artist. She died, and he was kind of gathering her things, as you know we often do, and just kind of stuck this painting in his garage and forgot about it. You know, didn't think about it. Turns out that painting was worth $15 million. And so I think we love stories like this. I mean, who doesn't love finding a hidden treasure that you had no idea was worth so much? I mean, a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the attic or the garage, or maybe for you that treasure is an autographed Kiss album. You know, right? They were here a few weeks ago. I know we had some intenders there. But you know, treasures that we find that have unexpected value. We love a story like that. But today I want to talk about another type of treasure. And this treasure has a price tag that is incalculable, okay? And the last week, we've been in this series, Helping People Find Their Way Back to God. It is our mission here at Community. It is what we're all about. And if you are new to Community, I am so glad that you are here, because you get an inside look into what we are about here. And I want us to all kind of say that mission together on the count of three. If you know it, say it with me. One, two, three. Helping people find their way back to God. That's good. We'll maybe try that again later. But hey, it is who we are. And it drives everything we do. And this is why we believe it's important. Now, this series is preparing us for a day in 2 weeks called Show Up Sunday. In fact, I want everybody to just take your phone out, maybe just put a calendar appointment on September 17th, because that is a day in which we are challenging every person that calls Community their home to be here on September 17th. But it's not just that. We are also challenging one another to invite 5 family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, baristas, you know, lifeguard at the pool, teacher, you know, fill in the blanks for you, whoever's in that network, to be with you here on September 17th. You say, well, why? Why are we doing that? We believe that inviting people to be here and be here with us on Show Up Sunday is one of the most strategic ways that we can live out this mission of helping people find their way back to God. Now, here's the deal. Last week we said, what does this actually mean? What does the mission mean? I mean, it's got to be more than just something we recite, or, you know, it's on the wall outside. I mean, what does it actually mean? And what it means is that God had an original plan for you and for me. And that plan was that we would live in eternal community with Him and with one another. And this eternal community was God's original design. The grand designer, God the creator, who created everything that we see, including you and me, had this plan that we would be in this eternal community that would be perfect and intimate, forever. We messed it up. We messed it up because we made a selfish decision and we said, no, God, I don't think you're doing a good job of being God. I think I do a better job of being God. So I'm going to fire you and I'm going to be God myself. That didn't work out so well. God didn't give up though. Since then, God has been on this 24/7 mission to restore his original plan for you and for me and for one another. And that's what we're talking about, what this mission means. It's where we are partnering with God to restore his original dream. And that original dream is an eternal community. And I want to ask you this question as we kick off today. Who are your five? You know, last week we introduced this challenge of who are the five people that you are inviting to be with you on Show Up Sunday. You may have gotten a card that looks like this. If you didn't get a card that looks like this, you can pick one up at the welcome table. You'll see on this card are spaces for five names. Five names. Who are the five in your life that you want to see find their way back to God? And as we consider that question, I want us to talk about the motivation. Why does this matter? Why does it matter that we are seeking to help people find their way back to God? And we're going to go to Matthew 13. There's two stories that Jesus tells in Matthew 13. If you have your Bible app, or it'll also be on the screen behind me. But the 13th chapter of Matthew, Jesus tells the story. And before we get into the story, we need to understand what the word kingdom means. He's going to use this word. That word kingdom is what we're talking about. The eternal community that God designed and desired in the beginning, that was his original plan for you and for me. That's what he means when he says kingdom. Now, it's not just somewhere we're going to go when we die and, you know, we're going to be with Jesus forever and this is what is going to be, you know, grandma's going to be there, and that's part of it. That's not all of it. When Jesus says the word kingdom, it's referring to not only what is the future that awaits us, it's referring to the present, to the here and now of what you and I experience. So it's the now and it's the not yet. Look at me in Matthew 13. Jesus tells the story. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, as I read these two stories, I notice these two guys. You know, the first guy is just kind of walking in the field. He's not really looking for anything. He stumbles upon a treasure and says, okay, this changes things. This changes the trajectory of my life. I've got to go and sell and give up everything else that I've previously put my entire life into to get this treasure. Maybe that's your story of finding your way back to God. You weren't necessarily looking for God, but God came and found you. And you decided that this treasure was worth more than everything else you'd given your life to. Or maybe you're like the second guy. You know, he's actively searching, and he finds the treasure. He's searching for, maybe that's your story. Maybe you have been searching for some deeper meaning that life, you say, life is about more than just what I'm experiencing. There's something missing from my life, and maybe that's your story. I think the second guy is kind of like Mike and Frank from American Pickers. Anybody seen that show? These guys go around and they find what I look at and maybe you look at and go, that's just absolute junk. And it turns out they get hundreds and hundreds of dollars for it. Now, when you sell everything you have, there has to be something going on inside of you. And I don't know, that's kind of like the second guy in the story. He's searching for something. And he finds something that may seem like it's not valuable, but actually is. Now, I don't know if we have any, you know, garage sale fans, but I recently discovered this amazing app called OfferUp. And so Megan and I moved into our home, and we put some stuff in the basement that we said, we don't really need this stuff anymore. We're eventually going to get rid of it. Okay? And so I discovered this app, OfferUp. I started listing all this stuff on the app with Megan's knowledge. Okay? Just want you to know that. And, you know, people would buy stuff. I mean, I'm talking about $10, $20 stuff. I mean, it's not hundreds of dollars, but it was amazing to me, and I kind of got addicted to it. It was crazy. I started selling off the stuff, and I'm looking around the house like, can I sell this? No, we need that. Can I sell this? No, we need that. And, you know, sometimes we sell stuff and that's the way it is. Other times it might be a situation where we're selling stuff because we're in, you know, financial trouble or we need to pay for something. And so, but these guys, here's the thing. These guys in this story sold everything they had with joy. Like they wanted to do that. They couldn't wait to do that. They said, I got to get rid of this other stuff because I found something that's worth far more. Now, why would anyone do that? What makes sense about doing that? I think what makes sense is when we understand the value of what we have found, it changes our perspective about what we had been looking for. Are you with me? When we understand the value of what we have found, it changes our perspective about what we have been looking for. Now, I want to ask you that question. What would you sell everything for? What would you give your life to? What in your life is worth so much that you would say, I'm giving up everything else in my life? What is it for you? Is it happiness? Is it joy? Is it contentment? Is it love? Is it Metallica tickets? Now, I want you to know, I actually looked this up. Metallica's playing a show in Paris next weekend. And if you want to sell everything you have and go, you can do that. But what is it for you that you would say, I'm going to give up my everything for this? And is that treasure Jesus? Are you willing to give up everything you have previously found to have Jesus? And is it worth it? I think Jesus would say to you and to me, what I am offering you is worth selling everything for. And so what is it for you? What is it for you? What is it that causes you to say, I'm going to give it all up? Now, I think we miss something as Christ followers. We miss something because we sometimes forget about the value of the treasure we have in Jesus. It's like that $15 million painting that we just kind of stick over in the corner of the garage, and then we forget about it, and we go through our routine and the pressures of life, and we got to do this and that. And that $1 million painting is sitting there, and we forget about the incalculable worth of what we have in Jesus. Sometimes we forget. This is worth giving my life to. I want to ask you this morning, do you understand the value of the treasure you have in Jesus? Do you understand the treasure you have in Jesus? I want to take a moment and just remind us collectively of what we have in Jesus. In Jesus, we've been adopted as sons and daughters. We have an identity. We have a grounded identity as Jesus' sons and daughters. In Jesus, we've been made alive to God. We are dead to sin. That means that your past and my past, they don't have to weigh us down anymore. We don't have to be just struggling along, regretting a decision or something we did to offend God because we think that God has now put us on the outs. You with me on that? God must be unhappy with me. I can't get over this thing that's happened in my past. No, in Jesus, that's dead. And you're alive in God. And in Jesus, we also have eternal life. We have nothing to fear. Our future is promised to us. We don't have to be afraid. In Jesus, there is no condemnation. I'll say that again. In Jesus, there is no condemnation. We don't have to be run and overrun by guilt and shame because of what Jesus has done. There is no condemnation, and we can live as free people. In Jesus, there's no condemnation. In Jesus, our lives have purpose. Our lives have purpose. Our lives have meaning. We have a direction in our life with Jesus, and in Jesus, we're no longer on the outside looking in. We're no longer on the outside looking in, wishing that we could be a part of something. And, you know, we're kind of knocking on the window going, hey, remember me? You know, I know I did that one thing, or I know I messed up that relationship, or I know that job and that career didn't work out, but can you let me back in? No. In Jesus, we're not on the outside looking in. We're a part of eternal community with God and with each other. Do we understand the value that we have in Jesus and the treasure that we have in him? Let me encourage you. No one will love you like Jesus loves you. No one will do for you what Jesus has done for you. And this treasure that we have in him is worth anything else that we could find. It's a treasure. Now, here's the story. I mean, many of us are finding that treasure, or we've found that treasure. We could say, you know, that's my experience. I have found the treasure that I have in Jesus. And maybe you could even say that I found that treasure right here at Community. And that's your story. And God has been working in your life, and God has been using you to help others find that treasure. I love stories like this. And there's many people here at Community who can say that the difference that finding their way back to God has made in their life has been tremendous. And I want you to hear from a few of our friends here at Community.
What difference has finding my way back to God made in my life? And the answer is all of the things. All of my life is different since I've made the decision to be a Christ follower, because God is ultimately in control and he is always faithful 100% of the time.
The difference that finding my way back to God has had in my life is that it's given me identity and it's given me purpose. I went from a guy who had low self-esteem, who was just trying to walk in other people's shadows because I didn't think I was good enough, to a guy with purpose after I found my way back to him. And now my focus has shifted, where more it's not so much so about me, but it's about how can I share my story to point people that I come in contact with to God.
I often make choices or do things that push me away from God, maybe wouldn't have been God's first choice for my life. But regardless, God still chases after us, still wants a relationship with us, still loves us. And so for me, the biggest difference has been feeling God's presence when life is good, when life is tough, and especially when life is just normal.
I think the secret of my finding my way back to God truly came from digging into his word and finding that it is so full of wonderful, tiny little things that help through the good days and the bad days.
For me, finding my way back to God has been a journey of loving God and feeling like I'm loved by God also. Once I had that kind of picture in my head, it just made it really easy and personal for me to be able to accept that God just loves me and he just wants to know me and he wants me to love him back.
The difference that finding my way back to God has made in my life is way more than what can fit on this short message. I have been shown who I am in Christ. I know my purpose, I know my worth, and I know God's love for me and God's love for all of humanity.
The difference that finding my way back to God has made in my life is just being able to realize that he's the one who found me, that it wasn't by my works, it wasn't by my efforts that I was able to attain or, you know, earn the love of God. Where I was lost and where I was addicted and where I was so hard-hearted, God came in, he found me, he set me on his path to do what he wants me to do. By his grace, I found my way back to God.
I love stories like that because it's a powerful reminder that this is why we do what we do. And we had a couple of Montgomery friends that shared their story in that video. And so we're actually inviting you to jump into that, participate in that. I know sometimes it could be kind of, you know, you're nervous to share a video, but I want to encourage you that if God is kind of pulling at you to do that, to post a video of the difference finding your way back to God has made in your life on social media, use the hashtag MyWayBack. And here's why I would encourage you to think about doing this. It's because you'll never know the difference that it'll make and the far-reaching impact that it will make in someone else's life, especially with the power of social media. That as I watched a couple of guys from Montgomery share their story, Charles and Lloyd, it inspired me to tell others the difference that finding my way back to God has made. I love stories like this. And one story I love, especially over the last year at Montgomery here, is the story of Marco. Marco started attending regularly back in the spring, and I got to know his name, and I just kind of saw, I think, you know what, sometimes you can just see on someone's face, like, they're searching. And when they're searching, you can start to see God work, and it's just evident in their appearance, in their attitude, just their demeanor. I could tell Marco was searching for something. Marco, started coming consistently to our celebration service. He jumped into a small group, the Abbott small group on Tuesday night, and really kind of built those relationships with other people who are encouraging him and walking alongside him in this journey. He took the Alpha course over the summer, and in July, Marco was baptized. And I love this picture because I think this picture, more than any picture that I could possibly show you, represents why we do this. I mean, you can literally see the joy on his face. And so what difference has finding your way back to God made in your life? Now, here's the thing. When you find your way back to God, the treasure that we're talking about, it doesn't just go away. It doesn't diminish like a painting or something valuable. The treasure and the joy is actually multiplied. Because when we find our way back to God, there's something that God starts doing in our hearts to say, you've got to tell someone about this. You've got to share what's going on in your heart with someone else. It's sort of like this. Now, I love steak. Can I get an amen? I mean, when you put a filet mignon, medium rare, in front of me, the angels start singing. And it is a experience of God. About a month ago, I was at Maison Sabica in Naperville with some friends. Now, I'm normally skeptical of Tapa's place because it's like they bring out the plate and it's like $32. And the food is like that small. It's like, is this just like a sample? Are you bringing it out so that I can make sure I like it before I actually order it? No, that's the real entree. Anyway, this place is amazing. And they brought out what I ordered. I got to read it so that I pronounce it correctly. Piperona de buey. Now, my Spanish is developing, okay? But I think in Spanish, this means amazing meat. I'm just going to go ahead and interject that meaning into it. I don't know if it means that, but it meant that to me. The taste of this was just incredible. I mean, it was like melt in your mouth incredible. But what made this experience better was that it was not an experience that we had by ourselves. We had this experience with other people, and we're passing this plate around and saying, hey, you got to try this. This tastes amazing. That's beef? Wow, I didn't know beef could taste like, you know, the seventh layer of heaven. You've got to enjoy this. When we enjoy something with other people and the love that we experience for something we share with others, it makes it that much better. Now, this is what is meant to happen with the treasure that we have in Jesus. That when we begin to experience the blessings of God, God working in our life, it is what I call 3C 2.0. You with me? 3 C's. I've experienced God in worship, in celebration service, and I've connected in a small group, and I'm contributing, I'm using my time and talents and resources. Now it's 3C 2.0, and I've got to share this with somebody else. I've got to help somebody else experience what I've experienced, because wouldn't it be a tragedy if all that we experienced in God, we kept to ourselves? See, God is inviting us to share a treasure and to say to those people in our network, those five, you got to try this. Listen, you've got to try this. This experience that I have had with Jesus, you've got to try it. You've got to try it. You've got to come and experience what I've experienced. And I think the Apostle Paul was onto this when he says in 2 Corinthians 5, for Christ's love compels us. The love of God working in your life, the eventual outcome of that is an overflow where you cannot, it is literally impossible to experience the fullness of God and not share it with someone else. It's not meant to terminate on ourselves where we say, you know what, God, Jesus and me, we're like BFFs. We're just too tied together, you know, and it's just me and him, and we got our thing, me and Jesus and nobody else, because that's kind of the way I like it. You know, I like that personal relationship, and I like it just being me and Jesus. I don't want anybody else to kind of mess up what me and Jesus have. No, the treasure is meant to be shared. So who is it in your life that you would say, I want to see them find their way back to God? I want to see that treasure multiplied. I don't want to experience all this and just say, well, it's been great for me. I hope somebody else can come along and experience it too. No, the treasure is meant to be shared. So I have three challenges as we wrap up today. The first one is to seek. If you're here today and maybe you're new to community and you have yet to find your way back to God or finding your way back to God right now, I would encourage you. Maybe you're like the one of the two guys in Jesus' story where you're searching for something. You might not realize it. But what you're searching for, that something that's missing in your life might just be God and the treasure of Jesus. Would you be willing and open to respond to that and start that journey? That journey starts at a different place for every one of us. We all have the different story of how God has wrestled us, how God has just taken our hearts and done something that we can't explain. So if that's you today, if you're seeking God, I would encourage you, do not leave this building without responding. Don't leave today and go, well, you know, he's busy. I saw him talking to a few people. Maybe I'll catch him next week. No, come and talk to me. Talk to somebody down front that on the prayer team. Talk to somebody with a lanyard around their neck after service. We want to help you start that journey and to realize and understand and experience that what you have found is worth giving up everything else for. The second challenge is to sell. Maybe some of us today can say, you know what, I know what Jesus is all about, but it doesn't feel like that. Are you with me? I know in my head what Jesus is all about. I've heard all about him, but it's not moving from here to here. It's not making that 6-inch move in transformation where my heart starts to change. I start to reflect more of God and more of Jesus in my life and to those people who are part of my life. There's a reason why the two guys in the story had to sell everything first, before they got the treasure. It was not a situation where they said, okay, I found this treasure, and I'm just going to add that treasure to kind of everything else, and there's just this, you know, you can picture this pile of junk where you just kind of throw the treasure on top of it and kind of keep everything together. The treasure only works if it's the one and only thing we get. We can't mix the treasure with the junk. So some of us in this room today, we have the treasure among a pile of junk that we need to get rid of. We need to give up. We need to sell. What are the things that you need to sell that you have been trying to mix the treasure in with, and it's just not the way the treasure works? You say, well, yeah, I get that, but, you know, I've got this other thing, and, you know, there's this thing going on here. And that, no, what are the things that you have been holding on to that God is saying, no, you need to get rid of that because this is not the way the treasure works. The treasure is supposed to be the one and only thing that you give your life to. Maybe that's you. Maybe the third challenge is for you, and that's to share. That's to share. Who in your life needs to find their way back to God? Who are the five in your life that you have written down on this card? And listen, we don't just print these cards and then toss them in the trash can. Who are the names on this card that we are committing to pray for and invite to be with us in 2 weeks? Imagine with me for a moment what it will be like if in a year, your five are sitting with you experiencing this eternal community. Imagine with me what it will be like in a year when someone says, you know what, I'm so grateful that you took the chance and invited me to show up Sunday. I know I didn't really care about God. God was the furthest thing from my heart. I understand that. I even was maybe resistant to God, but I am glad that you invited me. I'm glad that you had the courage and that you cared about me enough to extend an invitation. Imagine what it will be like when we experience eternal community with the people that we so desperately want to find their way back to God. Who are your five? Who are your five? And listen, when we begin to pray for these people every day that are in our five, God, I promise you, God will work in some ways, and you might not see it, you might not understand, you might not experience the ways in which God is working in their life until 10 years from now. This is the type of community that God has invited us into. He's created us for this. Whether you're a Christ follower or not in the room, God has made us for this. To be in relationship with God and with one another, and then to say, no, I want to extend that to someone else. I want as many people as possible to experience this because it's made a difference in my life. And then we get to that eternal community where we say, what I have found has changed everything for me. And what I have found is worth giving up everything else for. Can we say that? My prayer is that we can say that with a resounding yes. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we think about your mission and why it matters and the difference it makes in our lives, we're asking that you would give us the courage. Those of us today, God, that have yet to find our way back to God, we're asking you would give us the courage to talk to someone today, to not leave this place thinking about, I'll just do it next week. You would just put in our hearts a sense of spiritual urgency that this matters. And Father, for those of us who are Christ followers, that we're asking for the courage to push through and to sell and to share. That what we have experienced in you is not meant to end with us. That what you have called us to do is invite others into this eternal community. And that is what we're here for. I pray that you would unravel our hearts to sell off what we've been chasing, and take the treasure and share it, because knowing that it makes a difference. God, give us the courage today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Service times are Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at communitychristian.org/Montgomery.